Okay, today is Daf Zayin. I want to go back and do a part two to what we learned yesterday. The sugya of Kol Milsa Da'am Rachmano Yavid Mahani Oiloi Mahani. The sugya begins on Daf Dalid on the base and ends on Daf Vav on the base. Yesterday we discussed the beginning of the sugya. We mentioned matlaks between Abai and Rava. Abaya was of the opinion Kol Milsa Da'am Rachmano Loisavid Mavid Mahani. Abai said, the Torah tells you, do not do something. You don't listen. You violate the Torah's command. Does it have you accomplished something by not listening? Abai says, yes, you have accomplished, Mahani. Rava says, loy Mahani. Okay, we discussed yesterday the classes to review in a very, very, very quickly. We discussed yesterday the classic Torah on the beginning of the sugya, of Mahani, loy Mahani. How can Rava say, Loi Mahani? It's a Beferish Mishnah in Masechta Tehillim. If a person slaughters an animal on Shabbos, he was Mechalel Shabbos, the Mishnah says that it's a kosher Shechita. So we gave three answers, and the main answer was the answer from the Mahabit, which explained that being that there is a Chil Shabbos nonetheless, a person slaughters on Shabbos, he was definitely Mechalel Shabbos, so the Chashivas, so to speak, I mean, Mechal Shabbos will automatically make, will allow the Shechita to be a kosher Shechita, even according to Rava. Generally, Rava holds, Yavid Loi Mahani. If you try to violate the Torah's command, whatever you try to do is not going to be recognized in Halach. But being that in this case, there's another issue, the issue of Chilul Shabbos, and that, according to everyone, has occurred. You took the life of the animal is dead, there was Chilul Shabbos. If there's Chilul Shabbos, you've accomplished Chilul Shabbos. Once you've accomplished Chilul Shabbos, Agav, Chilul Shabbos, so the Meila Rav will also have to acknowledge that the Shechita is a valid Shechita. And then we discussed, that's the classic exception. What about the case of the Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where a person writes on Shabbos, and the second writing is tracing this first writing, and he's trying to inject Lishma, where you're accomplishing something backwards. So we discussed the two different sides. That was what we discussed yesterday. Today I want to go to the end of the Gemara. The Gemara presents 14 cases in the Torah. And the Gemara goes back and forth. Is that how do we understand this case according to Abaya? How do we understand this case according to Rava? Because in some cases the Torah seems to indicate that if you don't listen to the Torah, what you have done, you works, you have accomplished something by not listening to the Torah. Another place it seems to we seem to learn that if you try to violate the Torah's command, you have not accomplished. And the Gemara basically says, there are exceptions. Everyone has to acknowledge there are exceptions, and the exceptions are all based on psukim in the Torah. So then the Gemara is very frustrated, extremely frustrated. The Gemara at the very end says, let me find the exact words. The Gemara says, V'ela, b'maykum miflugi. We've gone through 14 cases, and the bottom line is, Abai and Rav agree in every single case. Every single case, it's either it makes logical sense according to Abaya, and Rava will acknowledge this is an exception, or it makes logical sense according to Rava, and Abaya has to agree that it's an exception. What then is the point of disagreement between Abaya and Rava? In every single case, there is no Allah halacha, they are the same. The Gemara says, you're right, Abaya v'Rava b'shinui koiner. The difference of Abai and Rava is in Shinui Koine. What do those two mysterious words mean? It's a long Rashi. Rashi gives two interpretations. Rashi says that Abai and Rava, Sovar, basically means nothing. According to Rashi's first interpretation, it means there's no difference. There is no difference between Abai and Rava in any practical form. What does it mean, Shinui? Let me read the Rashi. Abai Savar, Shinui, a change. Shinui literally means a change. Kone means to acquire. Does your change, in this context, your violation, you are changing, you're going against the will of Hashem. There's a change in what you are supposed to do. You are required to follow Hashem's will, and you are changing. You're not following Hashem's will. Koneh! Have you acquired something? Have you accomplished something? So what does that mean? The Abayis Rabbi holds Shinui, the change. Sheshino, that you have changed. The Ovar, how have you changed? You have transgressed. Aldas Hamakom, the will of Hashem. Koneh! It works. Abaya holds kol milsa the omer achmon alo sav. Anything the Torah says do not do, I ovid. If you do it, mahani, it works. Oh, it works, but we have 14 cases, and some of them doesn't work. Oh, those are exceptions. Bar mehecha dichsivi kua, except where the pasuk tells you that it's not going to work. Ula Rava, just the opposite. Like honey, Rava says it doesn't work. Kol milsa dim rachmona lo sav. If you make a shinui. Loi mahani, loi koine, it doesn't work. Ella, but there are 14 cases, some of them it does work. Ella hecha dechsivikra, where the pasuk says that it does work. So basically, the Gemara is saying in a very interesting term, there's no difference. There's no difference, Abai and Rav. The way the Gemara expresses this with these two cryptic words, shinui koine. Okay. Then Rashi gives another interesting answer. I have another pshat. Venir be'enai. Near Nunbeis, some say that's not really Rashi, it's really an editor's edition. Nimsa Bitsidai, it stands for. There is a difference. And that is that one of the 14 cases mentioned in the Gemara, we have a halacha. If a person steals an object, we know the Heshiv es Hagzela Asher Gaza. If a person steals a piece of wood, you are required to return the exact item. Let's say it's worth $5. You are required to return the piece of wood, not the money. Still a piece of wood, you must return the wood. Let's say you take this piece of wood and you transform it into a chair, into a hammer, into a utensil. Are you required to return the utensil? Or once you have transformed an object to something different, it's not the same thing that what you have stolen, you're no longer required, you no longer can be forced to return the actual object, you return its value. I've stole $5, I have an obligation to return money, but I'm no longer going to be required to return the object because I have acquired this object through a change. Shinui koine.
What if you've improved it? Do you have to pay the extra?
If you improve it, then he must pay the extra. If the person wants it back, the wood back, he has to pay the extra. Correct. He has to give you, but he is entitled to take back the actual piece of wood. Now the piece of wood has been transferred to a chair. Yeah. The chair is worth $100. He, if he wants, if the nigzal, the victim, if the victim wants, he can force the ganef to give him the chair, and but he'll have to pay $95.
But if he put it in his wall or something, I remember reading it.
He has to, yeah. That's a takana shum. That's a takana that you don't have to knock down your house. That's gonna, you're going many layers deep. Let's just keep it very, very simple. Shinui koine. And what does this mean? So the point over here is the Torah says, do not steal. I didn't listen to the Torah. I stole. Now that I steal, I change. I've transformed the object into a different, into something different. Have I accomplished something with my actions? So according to Abaye, yes, you have. Abaye says, Torah says, if you don't do something, if you don't listen, you can accomplish something by not listening to the Torah. I have accomplished. I stole, and I have now I've transformed it. It's mine. It's my chair. You can give me all the money in the world. I'm not giving the chair back to you. I'm only going to give back to you $5 cash. You're not getting back your piece of wood because I have accomplished something by transforming the piece of wood into a chair. Rava says, Torah tells you don't do something. You didn't listen. You have not accomplished anything. Give him back the piece of wood. He wants the piece of wood back. Give it back to him. Let's keep it very simple. It's not worth more money. It's a $5 piece of wood. It's a $5 chair. You have to give back the piece of wood to the original owner, even though you have transformed this into something different. The Torah tells you don't do something. You cannot outsmart the Torah. You have accomplished nothing. Give back the actual piece of wood if the original owner demands that he receive the wood back instead of money. Okay. That's the second approach. That's lachleks between.
The wood's not available.
What?
It's not available.
If it's, that's a different story. We're going in a situation where, it, where the wood is available. The physical object that you have stolen is available. It's right here. It's in a different form. It's been cut. It's been rounded out. The corners have been rounded out. It's been transformed. But it's the same piece of wood. I robbed a lumber store. I broke into a lumber store. I took all the lumber, and here it is. All the wood is the same wood; it's just been transformed into something different. According to Rava, the Torah tells Torah told you not to do this. You think you can outsmart the Torah by doing what you want? Your actions have accomplished nothing. The heshiv es hagzela asher gozal. Give him back the wood, but the wood now is in the form of a chair. Give him back the chair. Too bad. If there's a difference in value, we'll talk about that. But generally, the one that has the rights, the upper hand, will be the one that originally owned the piece of wood. Machlekes Abayin Rava. This Rashi's second, and this fits much better into the words of the Gemara. When the Gemara Lamaskana comes and says, what's the difference in Abayin Rava? The Gemara says, the difference is, Shinui Karinda, this happens to be one of the 14 cases mentioned in the Gemara. Even though the Gemara seemed to say everyone agreed, the Gemara seemed to say everyone holds that Shinui is Karinda, to basically a kabaya because of a pasuk, it seems according to this interpretation of Rashi, the Gemara is retracting from that exception. There were 14 cases. One case is not an exception. One case will really be the only 13 cases where there are no exceptions. There's one case where indeed Abaye and Rava disagree. And this Rashi, so again, you have the Gemara's maskana, machlokes Abaye and Rava, 14 cases. The Gemara says, what's the difference? The Gemara says, shinui koina. Rashi's interpretation, there's no difference. Everything is all the same. Just a fancy term. You try to be mishane, to go against Hashem's will. Koina, have you accomplished? Second interpretation, no, it's one of the 14 cases when you steal something and you transform into a different object. And there's a very fundamental problem with Rashi. Rashi's second interpretation of shinui koina, and that's because Rava himself, in the Sechta Bava Kama, in two places, says, every single person is of the opinion shinui koine. Rav explicitly says in Daf Samach Vav, and he says in Daf Tzadi Dalit, everyone, there's no one that disagrees with the principle of shinui koine. If you steal wood and you transform the wood into an object, you now, the ganav has accomplished something very significant. It's your property. You have a mitzvah of heshiv es hagzela, cash. Give him back what you owe him. But the wood, it's now your wood. But Rava holds, kol milsol, yom rachmona loy mahani. This is an exception. This is one of the exceptions. So how can Rashi possibly say, give this answer, or the editor to give this answer, Nirbi Einai, when it's in the Beferish Gemara, Mesif of Akama, that Rava holds Shinui is Koine. So it's a very nice answer. I want to really get something else. I just want to point and make out this point, because I find this a very nice point from the Ketzois. The Ketzois HaChoshim says, if you look carefully in the Gemara, there are two types of Shinui. So, and also, it brings a little bit of a Yisoda of Ovid Mahani, Loi Mahani. There are two different types of shinui. When you steal wood, steal a piece of wood, and you make the wood into a chair, can you undo your change? So sometimes you transform raw material. There's no going back. When you cut it, shave off the corners, you burn it. I mean, whatever, you transform it. You dye. You take wool. You dye wool, permanent dye. There's no going back. That's one type of shinui. Then there's a shinui where you can reverse. It can be reversed. I stole wood. I stole pieces of wood. I didn't cut the wood. Happened to be they fit perfectly. They're a certain size. And I took the wood and I made the wood into some complex utensil. If I really want, I can undo it. I can take out the screws. The screws, the holes you make is insignificant, and you can undo the shinui. There, even though Rava says shinui, everyone agrees shinui is koyin. That's only where it's irreversible. But if you steal raw material and you make a significant change which can be reversed, this is not so simple. This is dependent on different opinions in the Gemara. So that's really what Rashi here means. We'll discuss it over here. It's not a steer to the Gemara. The Gemara says there are 14 examples. One of the 14 examples of shinui koine. The Gemara is discussing a permanent, irreversible shinui. Everyone agrees koine. When the Gemara concludes, what's the difference? There's one case that's the difference. Where the transformation is reversible, does the nigzal, the victim, have the upper hand to demand back his property? According to Abaya, no. Abaya says, no, I made a shinui, it's mine. I'll give you your money, but you have no rights whatsoever to take this item away from me. The Torah told me not to do it. Ha ha. I was able to. I was able to override the Torah's will. Mahani, what do you do in your work? Rava says, no, loy mahani, since it's reversible, you must give back. So it's a very interesting limitation in Ovid Mahani. Ovid Mahani, even according to Rava, well, at least in this case, it's a very interesting point, this how to, the Gemara's case, Shinui, and here we have this Rashi, it's difficult, and we answer 2,000 Shinui. Okay, now the next one I want to...
Different types of shinui that would be
kona. Yeah.
Like we have.
Everyone agrees. Well, that's the point. That's the point. That there are two types of shinui.
Yeah. But above them, is shinui
mishus.
Yeah. Shinui
maisa. No, we're talking about shinui maisa. We're talking about because they're dealing with the Ovid shinui maisa. We're discussing right. In shinui maisa, there are two types of shinui maisa. The shinui shame. The shinui mishus. We're dealing with shinui maisa, a physical change. But the physical change is reversible. It is here where Rava says, loy mahani, and the victim has the upper hand, can demand the object back. That's what Rashi really means. Okay, that was one point I wanted to make from the Ksais. Now the next point I find to be a very beautiful idea, and this is just a minor hagdama. Whenever the Gemara tells you, there's no difference. You know, that's very dangerous for the Talmud to tell you, categorically, there's no difference. There are no exceptions. We have Machlokes Abaye and Rav. Spans two daf. 14 cases. And the Gemara says, so what's the difference? Everything is the same. The Gemara says, no difference. Shinui Koine, which Rashi interpreted, there's no difference. No difference. Really, no difference. There are many brilliant minds have come along since the time of the writing of the Talmud, Rini Rav Ashi, and will show you there are differences. And Tosfos, right away, Tosfos says there are no differences. So Tosfos is too cautious. And that's the little point I want to bring out, one little point of Tosfos, and jump to something which is a very beautiful idea in this Inyan. Tosfos, I have a case where it makes a difference. A person makes a shavua, he's not going to do something. Make a shavua, I'm not going to divorce. A person swears, I will not divorce my wife. Makes a shavua, a self-imposed prohibition. And then he gives his wife a divorce. Is it valid? It's metaphysical. This is not a metzias. Does it work? According to Abaya, it works. Just because you put upon yourself a prohibition, you violate the prohibition, it works. According to Rav, it doesn't work. So why didn't the Gemara give this as an example? So the Gemara gives an answer. The reason why we did not use this as an example is because it's not something the Torah said not to do. It's something you said to do. A self-imposed prohibition, where you create a prohibition, it's mutter min haTorah to give a divorce. I put upon myself, it's a man-made prohibition. Everyone agrees my actions can override a man-made prohibition. Even Rava that says that if you go violate the Torah's will, loy mahani, doesn't work. That's only when the Torah tells you not to do something. But when you told yourself not to do something, and now you want to override your own words by doing it, Rava will agree that it works. It does work. Your prohibition cannot be strong to prevent a violation from not taking effect. Now the point I want to make is, and this is some unfortunate point that is, the Gemara's words are very precise. Kol milsa de omar rachmona lo tzavid. Anything which the Torah said not to do. The 14 cases discussed in the Gemara, all cases that are explicit in the Torah. They're explicit prohibitions, which right away opens up that really, the Machlekes Abaye and Rava, there are examples where there are differences. It's just the examples are lamdasha examples. You have to construct cases. But as far as going through Taryag mitzvos, taking out a Shulchan Aruch, taking out a Rambam, going through all the mitzvos, when you'll find things that are explicit in the Torah, you're not going to find a difference. It'll either be an exception one way or another. But Tos opened up this idea that there are examples in the Torah, prohibitions, and there are prohibitions which you bring upon yourself, or for that matter, intellectual gymnastics will create conditions which are not in the Torah, which are prohibitions, which are sub-prohibitions, which there will be a difference. I want to present to you one fascinating difference between Abai and Rava from a Gemara in Menachos. I saw this in the Sefer Daf Al Hadaf, and it brings down from, I think, from a Sefer called Kerem Shloma. It's a Gemara Masechta Menachos. The Gemara talks about the mitzvah, or the prohibition of Baal Tosef. Here's the case. You have a talus cut. Let's take one step back. Let's talk about a situation where you have a round garment. Round garment. Is it chayv in tzitzis? Absolutely not. You put in the garment four tzitzis. You go and you took the garment, you go in four parts of the garment. You put in, like, you draw a nice box on the garment, and you insert tzitzis. Real kosher tzitzis, all the hidurim, tcheles, you name it. Okay, all the bells and whistles. Then you take a scissors, and you cut the garment to make it perfectly square, and it just so happens that the tzitzis are on the four corners in the perfect location. Is this a kosher talis?
No.
Why not? Tase v'loy minasi. Is a mitzvah to put tzitzis on a garment, not to have the tzitzis
be on the garment.
Be there memela after the garment is finished. It just happens to be minasi. The tzitzis are there. Tase v'loy minasi. Okay, here's the lamisha case. You have a garment that's a regular talus, nice talus to buy in the store, four tzitzis, beautiful, everything's perfect. You buy an extra pair of tzitzis, just the strings, and you put on the corner another double. You want to be prepared just in case, you know, if one of the tzitzis gets cut, you have right away, it's instead of having eight strings, four strings, which are eight, it's now eight, which are 16. You have another set, two different tzitzis hang out. The person has done a terrible thing. He's chayv malchus, baal tosef. The Torah says four, not five, not six, not seven, eight. So therefore, this person is chayv malchus. If they would warn him before he does this, they would tell him, no, I do this, you put on more, and I don't care. They tell him the hasra, they give him the pasuk, and hasra, they'll take him to court and they'll give him malchus. He has done an avera of baal tosef. Okay, done it to sit. Okay, no problem. Now, next. The additions, tzitzis, five, six, seven are marked. So you know, this is five, so six, seven, eight. Then takes a scissor and he cuts off one, two, three, four, the originals. Cuts off the original tzitzis. Now he's left with a garment that has four tzitzis. Four, five, six, seven, eight. Is it a kosher talus? Is this called tase v'loy min ha'asri? Is it a kosher talus? Because When I put on 5, 6, 7, 8, it was Baal Tosef. It was an Avera. It was a sin. Kol milsa da Omar Rachmana lo savid. The Torah told me, don't do this. I Ovid loy mahani. By l'chayra, or Ovid mahani. Is it, when I put on 4, 5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8... I'm going to get malchus. Whether you learn mahani or not mahani, whether you learn, that's, does it help? Does it not help? Is it called an action? But for the attempt, you get malchus. No one disagrees with that. But when it comes to, here we're dealing with a case of tase, exactly with this issue. Tase, when you put tzitzis on a garment, you have to do a maisa. V'loy min ha'osu. It cannot be something which was done in the past. So here is a nafkamina. According to, let's start with Abaya. Abaya says, "Kol milsa mechmoni yavid mahani." It works, right? Torah tells says, "Don't do a sin." If you're not going to listen to the Torah, you're going to do the sin. You have accomplished something. Your action counts. You'll get punished for it, but it counts. I have a talus. Talus 1, 2, 3, 4. I now add 5, 6, 7, 8. I've done a sin. Kol mils the Amr Achman Eloi Savit. I've done a sin. Don't do this. But you of it. Mahani. That means this garment now has a Maisa. 5, 6, 7, 8. I get Malchus. Now I've done something. Now I cut off 1, 2, 3, 4. What am I left with? I'm left with a garment that has four tzitzis. And these tzitzis have come before the garment. Because they were not active as tzitzis. When they were there, 5, 6, 7, 8, they were not kosher tzitzis. But they were tzitzis! Because the Torah told me, don't do it, and I did it. It works. It was done. They were tzitzis that were put on the garment. I did a maisa, and the tzitzis are there, but they're not kosher tzitzis. Now, when I cut off 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm left with these are in the category of tase, the loy min ha'ovud. It was already done before the garment needed it. You have to start with a garment that needs tzitzis, and then put the tzitzis on. Here, you start with a garment that does not need tzitzis, because it already had tzitzis, and then the tzitzis, all of a sudden, the garment all of a sudden needed tzitzis, but when the garment and the tzitzis already were there, it's taseh v'loy min ovid, it's no good. Now, it will become clear when I say the next thing. Rava. According to Rava, it's kosher. Why is it kosher? Kol nilsa, da'om rachmana, lo savedi ovid, loy mahani. I have a garment, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's kosher. I now add 5, 6, 7, 8. I've done a sin. I get malchus. But I didn't do anything. Halacha does not recognize a maisa that I've put tzitzis on the garment. It's not. You know, there's no halachic recognition that the garment I've done a maisa of tasa putting tzitzis on the garment. When I take off 1, 2, 3, 4, that is a maisa which will first trigger the tzitzis, 5, 6, 7, 8, becoming active. So we're using here tasev loy ovid loy mahani to our benefit according to Rafa. 1, 2, 3, 4 was my kosher tops. 5, 6, 7, 8 is a sin. And being that it's a sin, it's not called I've done a halachic maisa. When will it first be considered to be a halachic maisa? When I get rid of 1, 2, 3, 4. So the action of cutting 1, 2, 3, 4 is now what triggers for the very first time the maisa of 1, 2, 3, 4 on a beged, which now needs tzitzis of 1, 2, 3, 4.
But it's already on.
So what's the maisa? The maisa is cutting number one is what the maisa is what triggers. It's a chiddush, I know. But the cutting of number one is the maisa of trigger number five. Cutting number two is the maisa, which triggers is the maisa, because the maisa never happened yet. Mm-hmm. There's 1 and 5 on this corner. Mm-hmm. When I cut number one, cutting number one is the maisa of putting on number five, according to Rava. Because there was never a maisa. Kol milsa nachon lo savi levit lo mahani. So I have one was here. Five, it's maybe physically here. Halachically, it's not here.
It's lying dormant and you activate it.
How do I activate it? With the maisa. The maisa was, he mentions a good point, it's not a maisa on the maisa mitzvah, but yet it's a maisa, it is a maisa, which does nevertheless trigger. Rava says this beferish in the Gemara. Let me read the Gemara Masechta Menachos. The Gemara says, do we say tasev lemin asi? V'yam Rabbi Zera, hitil limutelis. If hitil means you insert tzitzis on a garment that already had tzitzis, kishera. Rabbi Zera says exactly this case is kosher. You have a garment, 1, 2, 3, 4. You add now 5, 6, 7, 8. No one is denying you'll get malchus for adding 5, 6, 7, 8. Chayef.
But the tzitzit never became puzzle.
Never became puzzle. 1, 2, 3, 4 is kosher. You add 5, 6, 7, 8, which are kosher. For adding 5, 6, 7, 8, lechiv malchus. So you chayef malchus. And Rav Zera says, kashera. What does it mean, kashera? It means that when you cut off 1, 2, 3, 4, and you're left with 5, 6, 7, 8, kashera. Exactly our case. Rav Zera says this. Omar Rava. Rava says, Rava, the same Rava, same person in Al Gemara says, Kol milsim achmoni loy savedi avid loy mehani, hashta, bebal toysif koi. You know why? He's explaining, do you know why? Since here, when you put on, but with the Gemara's kasha, how could it be kosher talis? It's tasav lemon osui. When you put on 5, 6, 7, 8, It's not kosher at that moment in time. When you cut off 1, 2, 3, 4, so then backwards lemafreya 1, 2, 5, 6, 7 are on. It's tasev lemin osui. Why is it kosher? This is more kasha. This is a case of tasev lemin osui. Rava comes to the rescue. Rava comes to the rescue from the Gemara in Masechta Temura. Amar Rava, Hasha, you know why it's this is not a case of Tase Veloy Minasi. This is Tase. Why? Hasha Bibal Toysif Koi. Since when you put on 5, 6, 7, 8, you were Chayiv for Bal Toysif, Maisa Loihave. It's not called a Maisa. Why is it not called a Maisa? Rava Lishitoso. Kol Milso, the Omer Achmon Eloi Savid, you do an Avera. Loi mahani, your actions are not significant in halacha. When does the maisa first become triggered? Mm-hmm. When you do another maisa of removing 1, 2, 3, 4. So this, like in three cryptic words over here, this is where Rashi explains, you have over here Rava, the only Rava makes sense when you shtel tzu Rava to the Aul Gemara in Masech Tmura. Now being that this is Rava, we have to follow through. What about Abaye? Abaye doesn't hold of this because Abaye holds Kolmus and Rachmoni Lo Savin Mahani. Mahani, so when you did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it's called a Maisa. Then when you take off 1, 2, 3, 4, you end up with 5, 6, 7, 8, it is Tasev Eloi Minasi, exactly like the Gemara says. So how could it be when the Gemara here says, what's the nafka meaning between Abaye and Rava? There's no difference. Shinui Koine, there's no difference whatsoever. Even if you find a difference, it's only the of Shinui. You have another difference. That's right, there are differences. But this is not a case that's mentioned explicitly in the Torah. The case, the 14 case that mentioned in the Torah, like Tosfos says, Kol Milso de Omar Rachmana. The Gemara discusses specific cases. The Torah says, don't divorce her. The Torah says, don't. Baal Tosfos is a general halacha. It's like a general halacha which applies to every single mitzvah. It's not something, the Omar Rachmana, that's explicit in the Torah. So here you have Mamish in the Gemara itself. See, what's so fascinating about this is, Tosfos is searching to create cases. You have Mamish cases in the Gemara itself where the Gemara says that there are differences. And I mean, it's just an interesting thing, it's not explicit. You have to dig deeper into the Gemara. But here we have this machlokes by Rava, and it's not a kash in the Gemara because of the sort of Tosfos. It's not something that's explicit in the Gemara. And in fact, a lot of the very big question: how do we pass? We pass like a bayin Rava. So normally we have a lach, we have machlokes by Rava. Who do we pass like Rava? Except for Yaal Kigam. Here the problem is: it seems that then Shulchan Aruch, the whole deacon in the Ram seems, and there are indications on passing just like Abaye. So it's very complicated. It's no gelach l'maisa when how you paskin, and there are situations like this in the case of tzitzis. Okay, that's it. When you had one.